Welcome to Coffee Shop Conversations. Bob and I have been friends for over 25 years, and we've had a lot of coffee shop conversations, using a biblical worldview to push back the fog of our own understanding. Christianity, discipleship, you name it, and we've struggled with it. These days, we live 1,300 miles apart, so we meet at a virtual coffee shop. Glad you could join us. Let's go inside, grab a cup, and we'll see what we can stir up today. Hey, look, Bob's already here.
Jim made me promise that if he sits in, he will not have a microphone. He's just, you know, and it's that kind of a situation. Jim is brilliant. You know, like I said, 4.0 in math. You know, he's quality assurance. He was the quality assurance head at Hartzell Propeller. They make military and crop dusting propellers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, but he's always overthinking everything, and which is great.
Bob, don't we all?
Well, he's got it on steroids, I'll tell you. And he's a great guy. But I asked Jim a question yesterday, and he answered me. And I asked him, what's the toughest thing? Because Jim is, he spent 14 years on Campus Crusade staff, right, Jim? And, you know, he was at Rice and Arizona, and then he ended up at Cal Poly Pomona, right? And he was the campus director there for a few years. But, you know, I asked him the question about what's the biggest problem that he saw amongst new Christians? Because it kind of goes along with what you and I have been talking about, this stake in the ground thing. And his response is, when they get into the church, all the happy, happy, joy, joy that you go into and everybody expects you to be happy and you don't have problems and these false expectations, you know, that now I'm a Christian, everything's going to be better, and overcoming that. And then part of it is the, as I queried him, he explained about, you know, how a lot of people go to church with their best happy face on. You know, so that's something to think about. I thought it was an interesting response because, you know, I've been out of that new Christian loop for so long that, that really is a problem.
I think the going to church with a happy face is a problem at every age, in every church, every stage. It's really difficult because, you know, you don't want to go there being, you know, Debbie Downer or, you know, whatever, the person who's the gloomy guy. Who's the character in the Winnie the Pooh story, the mule, the donkey? Eeyore. You don't want to be Eeyore. Oh, Pooh.
Jim's mouthing to me, Eeyore.
you don't want to be Eeyore, right?
No, Eeyore, the guy with the gloom. It's either that or Pigpen and Peanuts.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be Pigpen. You don't want to be Eeyore. You don't want to, you know, because, like, you know, people are actually finding some joy in the relationship with God. And so I think some of that is faith, and I think some of it is I don't want to be the object of gossip and, you know, people's, you know, childish attempts to fix me.
Yeah.
So anyway. Who am I?
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to introduce it. Greeting. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Bob. How's those painful sores doing? Is penicillin helping?
Yes,
no,
it
we
is.
Can't say stuff like that. No. How did it go at your bail hearing?
Well, John and Sally Lunchbucket showed up and testified on my behalf.
Well, the judge is pretty sure that they're not going to. Okay, no, we can't do that. That's not funny. Okay,
so not. No. Well, it was interesting. My coffee group in Columbia, there was a judge that came to that.
And cool.
Yeah, he was a stitch. Yeah, he was fun. Yeah. So,
So let's. Okay, so what we could try is just pretending that the intro has already run.
Okay.
And now we're in the coffee shop, and I say, oh, look, and Bob's here already. Hey, Bob, how you doing today?
Did you hear that?
What?
Oh, you didn't hear the applause?
No.
How come it didn't come? I hear it.
I can't hear it. No, I can't. I can't hear it.
You can't hear the applause?
I cannot hear the applause, I promise you.
The laughter?
Nothing. I got nothing. I'm sitting here.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Every time you click, it just blanks out completely. We need a tech guru.
Yeah, we need a tech dev.
Okay, so pretend that the intro went beautifully, like it should. Right? Okay. We have applause. We have all of it. Right?
Yep.
So hey, and look, Bob's already here. Da-da. Hey, Bob, what are you doing? What do you want to talk about today? What do you want to? Oh, look, I brought a friend. You want to talk about what?
Yeah, Jim's going to listen in on this one. He's not going to participate.
No. I'm not worried about Jim.
Well, we were talking about this last night. I was explaining this difference between, and Jim grew up in a pretty good Christian environment, you know, and yet was not really sure of his salvation and kept going forward and stuff like that. And that's the problem that I see, that there's people that grow up in a very, I want to say this kindly, orthodox and rather rigorous catechism.
Okay.
And they've never not believed in God, but they never really had assurance that, you know, they were going to heaven, or to borrow a good Christian term, saved. And then there's the other group that grow up in, or maybe they're new to a church that has a decision-based theology, where it's walk the aisle, raise your hand, pray to receive Jesus. And both groups of those have a hard time with assurance and knowing for sure that really made that commitment to Christ. And so, you know, it's a difficult quandary. How many times did you go forward, Jim?
Probably half a dozen.
Half a dozen? Yeah. And, you know, and I think, Frank, you told me you had that struggle too, because you came from...
Same thing. It was the exact same thing. Every time there was an altar call. And, you know, in the Reformed Church in America, there weren't a tremendous number of altar calls.
No, there were not. But that's not part of their tradition.
Wherever there was... Yeah, right. It was assumed that if you know, it should have taken the first time. And, you know, they didn't really have a solution if it didn't.
Yeah.
So anytime I was somewhere where there was an altar call, I'd go up and I always thought that was strange. Like, why couldn't I feel better about that? But that's kind of where I was at.
Well, it's, you know, and therein is the problem. The magic word you said is feel, you know, and it's the same thing that, you know, if I'm a Christian, I should feel different. And especially in our culture, which is so feelings oriented, feelings are more valid than truth sometimes. And, you know, we had talked a few weeks ago about the whole real estate transaction, and I was sharing this with Jim too, that, you know, people think that when they go to the closing, or when they make the offer, the house is theirs, or when they go to the closing, the house is there, or when they sign the 4,900 documents, the closing is done. Or most people don't feel anything until they put the key in the door after closing. But the legal thing, you had some interesting, what was the vocabulary you used? That when that deed slides across the table and the buyer touches it, that's the legal closing. But you had a couple words to describe that. What were those?
There's a difference with deeds between actual and constructive notice.
There we go.
So the constructive notice... And, you know, obviously I'm not a lawyer. I haven't looked at this stuff in a long time, but my memory was constructive notice. Actual notice is when you become aware that the seller has signed the deed. Someone told you, they gave you a copy, you watched them do it, whatever. You became aware that person signed the deed. Now it's done. Now they go and they record it down at the county records or in the Vermont in the town hall. That's the constructive notice. But the actual notice is the seller did their side of it, and you now have actual notice that transaction is closed.
Mm-hmm.
If that deed never got recorded, it's still valid.
Yeah.
Doesn't become more valid just because it went down to the county and got stamps on it. So I didn't feel anything like that in the Christian life at all. It was much more like when we put the key in the lock, I kept waiting for somebody to stop us, you know, and they don't.
The trumpets to sound or something.
Well, anybody to come along and say you're at the wrong house or, you know, you're a trespasser or something, you know, like, because that's like a big step to buy a house. You know, it's like leaving the hospital with your baby, when the baby's born. It's like, I'm not qualified to raise this child, and they're just going to turn me loose.
Yeah, they did, didn't
and the
they?
Answer is, yeah, they did. The only thing they were concerned about when ours were born was, did you have a car seat?
Yeah.
So they came down, they looked in the car, had a car seat. They didn't care. They didn't care about any other thing. It was just time to leave.
Yeah. Well, and you know, as I bring that back into the Christian world, I'm saying, well, when do we become Christians? And is it when we pray the prayer or walk the aisle or when we feel good about it? Or does it happen at a deeper level? It's the moment we decide that, yes, we're going to turn our life over to God and in the person of Christ. That's when the real conversion takes place, is it not?
So, yeah, okay. Legally, I know you're right. Theologically, yeah, I know you're right. But those feelings are real. They're really, really powerful. So this was a shock to me to discover. How old was I when I became a Christian? I think I was 30, maybe 31. And what I was not prepared for was I would still be me, even though now I'm a Christian. So all the same difficulties that I was having before came with me in. I wasn't prepared for that. I was shocked at that. So part of the feelings was just an amazement that, wow, I still had all these other, you know, the same set of problems. Nothing has changed at all. So how do I really know that I'm a Christian?
Well, doesn't it go back to the whole idea of what did Jesus say? Those who believe in me will be saved. He doesn't say those that feel good about praying the prayer or those that, you know, are three times a week Christians at church. It's what is the truth of his statement and are we relying upon that?
So in the beginning, I had nothing. Oh, boy, oh, boy. If you asked me at the time, and people probably did, my first pastor was really deliberate about discipling me, but if you'd asked me how I felt, it would have been a very different thing than what I thought was true, than what I believed was true. Mm-hmm. And at that point, my level of belief was much more of a desperate hope than a belief.
Mm.
So when we use the word believe, I believe that you live south of me. That's sort of like, it doesn't require any faith. I sort of know that, right? Uh-huh. But if you said to me, you know, that God put a face on himself in the person of his son, Jesus. Now, I believe that. I'm much closer to an actual knowledge of that than I was. In the beginning, it was like, wow, there's so much pain in my life. I need some relief. Badly, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, the problem was the solution came and the relief didn't come in equal measure on the spot. So then it became, well, did I really become a Christian? Shouldn't I feel better? And I don't know. It there are some people I guess I would almost fault for wondering about their salvation, you know, some years in. It's like, haven't you worked that out yet?
Mm.
And then there's others who it's like, if you weren't doubting your salvation at the beginning, I'd wonder if you'd really come. That sounds terrible. I know I'm not supposed to judge and I'm not, but I think you know what I mean. If your relationship with Jesus is so valuable, if it's like truly the pearl of greatest price and you can't see it, you can't touch it, how do you know you got it?
Mm.
And if it's really that valuable, wouldn't that keep you awake at night wondering if you had it? I'm asking. I don't know. I mean, I've been thinking about this conversation for weeks now.
Yeah. And you know, the whole thing, I mean, I used to use that illustration of there's passive belief. Yeah, I believe that airplane over there can fly. And there's active belief. I'm going to get into it and sit down and let that airplane take me someplace. That's a more active faith.
Those are two very different kinds of belief, I think. One is sort of like an intellectualism, and the other is I'm betting my entire life on this theory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that those aren't the same faith at all. I don't think that, even though they have the same general object.
Yeah, you know, and you know, the doctor hands you a pill, you believe that he has good intention, you know.
Yes, that's exactly right. That
is, you know, and it's life or death, maybe, with some pills, you know. Well,
okay.
You know, I mean, this is a whole different track than we've talked about before, because, you know, I've often used that driving a stake in the ground and going back to the legal basis that I claim my salvation and looking at scriptures, you know, whether it be John 1:12 or John 3:16 or Revelation 3:23. And the basis of my faith is the promises of God and driving a stake in the ground. So if I come up through a catechism setting and I've never really prayed a prayer, well, maybe I need to go back and claim actively that verse. And if I've come up through a decision-based theology, maybe what I need to do is understand that I've passed a legal threshold with God because I claimed his promises. Now, what happens subsequent to that? That's a work it out thing. Well, you just said it yourself. You know, you're gonna deal with those issues, which may or may not go away instantly. They probably won't. But you begin to make decisions based on the fact I'm no longer my own.
So, in my mind, you know, just, you know, my opinion, I think this is the same conversation from almost the exact same perspective, which is it's just a little bit more mature version of it. You know, we've had this conversation now twice in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Where you and I normally would not do that. You know, normally it would be much. This is like one of the first planned conversations I have ever had with you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else has been completely freestyled, sort of, you know, in the moment. You know, whatever your devotions were that day, whatever the mood struck you, however the spirit moved that day is what we talked about. So this is me and you's first real try at a planned conversation where we say, let's explore this particular topic. I don't think we've ever done that before.
Hmm.
So in this, I think our observations about the different qualities of faith are pointing to the same problem. It's the person who hasn't really learned how to trust God is struggling right there. And I think that what we're talking about is, to really talk about assurance, we have to first talk about what a lack of assurance is.
Mm.
And then once we're sort of agreed on what a lack of assurance is and kind of how we got there, okay, now what do we do? Is what I think we're talking about. Is that, am I tracking? Am I with you?
I think so. Jim just handed me a verse, 1 Timothy 1:15. It's kind of relevant there. I looked it up. It says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But the underscore is under the word trustworthy, because it all goes to the fact of, who are we trusting? Are we trusting our emotions, or are we trusting going forward? Are we trusting the prayer, or are we trusting Jesus and God? Jim shaking his head, yes, I got his thrust.
Well, it seems hard to believe, but we've come to the end of our time with each other for today, and we do know that there's more that we could discuss about any topic. So today's talk was more like an introduction than a really exhaustive survey. If you liked what we did, and we really hope you do, we would ask you to subscribe or even to like the podcast. It would also really help us to help you if you leave some comments about how we could improve, comments about the topics we discussed, how we analyze those topics, and talk about them, even how we talk to each other, or even the quality of our sound. Every little bit will help us to make content that's more of a blessing to you. Again, thank you for listening with us today, and may the Lord richly bless you in all that you do.